I think we can all agree that moms impart a special kind of knowledge. They give to us a special kind of wisdom that just sort of hits home. And so today on Mother's Day, I'd like to share some of them that I gathered up that I think really sort of typifies the uniqueness and the wisdom of mom. And perhaps you can relate to some of them. For instance, moms teach us how to appreciate a job well done, right? If you're gonna kill each other, go outside. I just finished cleaning. It's a job well done, all right? Moms also, they have a way of teaching us religion, imparting the faith on us. You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet. Got religion, right? Moms are special that way. They teach us how to meet a challenge by presenting us with challenging things, right? Don't you talk back to me. Answer me when I'm talking to you. They teach us irony, do they not? Yeah. You keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. They teach us to be mindful of our surroundings. Does this look like a gymnasium to you? I guess not. All right, maybe that's not really the wisdom I'm talking about this morning. But this being Mother's Day, I want to highlight the fact of what moms, what aunts, what women in general bring to us. Because they have a unique wisdom and they have a unique role that they play in our lives. And what I believe is, at least from my experience, is that, ladies, you underappreciate what you do. That you don't realize the impact. You underestimate what you pass down to the next generation, because in fact you really do leave a legacy behind in the lives that you have touched, and more than likely in lives that you don't even know that you have touched. And so here on Mother's Day, I want to encourage moms, grandmothers, aunts, really all of the ladies, don't underestimate your significance. Don't underestimate your significance, because God doesn't underestimate your significance. You see, God values all people. God in his creation, he created us male and female, and we are equal in his eyes. I don't want us to lose the fact, though, that we are unique in his eyes, that both men and women, we complement one another. It's part of God's creating us this way. It's part of the world that he made for us, that we are equal in his eyes, but we are also unique. And so you notice throughout Scripture that God shows a high value both for men, but also for women. Even when culturally women would not have a high value, in Scripture we see that God lifts them up. This is very evident in the New Testament. In the New Testament, first century AD, women did not play much of a role in society, and Jesus went countercultural on numerous occasions to show that he puts a high value on women. So for instance, first century AD, women were not allowed to testify in court. They were seen as unreliable witnesses. Yet, who was the first on the scene on Easter morning? Who were the ones that Jesus spoke to first? And who were the ones that gave witness to the rest of the disciples that indeed that Jesus has risen from the grave? It was the women who went to the grave. It was the women who gave witness to the fact that Jesus is alive. First century AD, women were excluded from the education system. It was deemed unnecessary that they should be taught. And yet, if you read through the Gospels, it highlights again and again that in the crowds around Jesus that he was teaching, that there were men and women in the crowd. Or we can go specifically to Mary and Martha, a house that we know that he visited frequently, and we read about how Mary and Martha sat at his feet and Jesus poured into them as Jesus taught them. First century AD, women were supposed to keep their faces covered, supposed to stay inside and not associate, especially don't associate with men. Jesus all the time blows this social norm out the door Most notably, the Samaritan woman, as he comes up to her and she's at the well. This is actually a trifecta of breaking all social norms. First of all, she's a woman. Jesus shouldn't talk to her. She's a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And she has a bad reputation. But you know what? Jesus values her. And Jesus loves her. And so Jesus engages in conversation with her. How about the woman who had been bleeding for so many years, just wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? And even though there's a crowd around him, Jesus searches until he finds her and commends her for her faith. And even when Jesus is hanging on a cross, bearing the sin of all mankind and an excruciating physical pain, takes care of his mother and says to John, "Take her into your home now. You look after her. You take responsibility for her." God places a high value on women. Jesus placed a high value on women. That carried over into the early church. In the early church, no less than 12 women by name are listed by Paul in his various letters, as he speaks about them as partners in the gospel, those who are spreading the news of Jesus Christ and the salvation that is found in his name. Or how about Paul lifting up Timothy's grandmother and mother and the importance that they played in passing down the faith to him? My point is this: God has given you a significant role. Yes, he's given a significant role to men as well, but today we focus on you, ladies, and God has given you a significant role. Don't underestimate your influence. Don't underestimate the impact that you have in those around you. Now, I could be wrong on this, but it seems to me that those of you who have the privilege of being a mom, you usually underestimate the most. And somehow you think that your role is no big deal. Several years ago, I read an account of, he's a Christian speaker, Tony Campalo, perhaps you've heard of him. He was telling the story that when their children were younger, that they made the decision that his wife was going to stay home and take care of them. But she felt awkward and funny when she was out in conversations, talking to people who had careers and professions, that somehow that her job wasn't as significant as theirs. So Tony said, "Well, that's utterly foolish." He says, "I will write an answer for you so that you can describe to them exactly what your job is." It goes like this. She's supposed to say to people, "I'm nurturing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might become instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God envisioned from the beginning of time." What do you do? Don't underestimate what God has given you to do. Don't underestimate the influence that you have, because here's the rub. When you underestimate your significance, then you end up underutilizing your influence. When you underestimate your significance, you underutilize your influence, the influence that you have in your family, the influence that you have on your friends, the influence you have in the special role that God has given to you. So ladies, leave a legacy. Leave a legacy in the next generation to come. Leave your imprint and be intentional about it. You leave a legacy, but understand a legacy is not something you see now. By definition, it is something that's going to happen in the future. So as you pour into your kids and your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, the kids that are in JAM, the students that are Ignite, just the people that are around you, it'll be years from now that what you poured into them will come forth. So years from now, they'll look back and they'll think of you and the influence that you had on their life. So don't be discouraged now. Know that you're leaving a legacy that will bear fruit in the future. Second thing is, understand that legacy is more caught than taught. Certainly there are things that you teach, that you teach your kids, your grandkids, those around you. But oftentimes, the deeper things that shape us as human beings are more caught than somebody sitting down and teaching them to us. Small example from my own mother. My mother made a point every day to tell me that she loved me. And I think, well, every mother does that. Well, maybe they do, I don't know, but it had a special impact on me. right? So at least once a day, she would make a point to tell me that she loved me. If she was angry with me, she still told me. If she was frustrated with me, she still told me. If she wasn't feeling good, it didn't matter. She told me. I never went to bed at night, as long as I lived at home, without hearing at least once, sincerely, how much she loved me. Now, you can quiz my kids, but I've strived to, and really, unconsciously, I tell them every day that I love them. As long as they're living in the house, they're there, and I can tell them, I tell them I love them. If I'm angry with them, if I'm frustrated with them, if I don't feel good, you see what I'm saying? My mother instilled in me something that is now being passed on to another generation. Her unconditional love towards me is now being translated into an unconditional love for the next generation. Now, she never sat me down and said, now, Ron, when you have kids, no. It was caught. It wasn't taught. If you're going to leave a legacy, understand that that legacy will be caught, not necessarily taught. So if you want your kids to be honest and have integrity, then you live lives of honesty and integrity. If you want your children to take responsibility for their actions, then take responsibility for your actions. If that means at times that you have to apologize to them or admit that you're wrong to them, if you want them to understand forgiveness, then forgive them and ask for forgiveness yourself, because a legacy is more caught than taught. And the kind of legacy that you leave behind is a legacy of selflessness. Because a legacy isn't about you. It's about the other person. What's interesting is I did just a little bit of research of the origin of Mother's Day, at least the origin of Mother's Day in the United States. And what I discovered was it actually gets traced back to during the Civil War, and Julia Ward, she wrote the lyrics to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It was set to a tune of a little ditty that the soldiers were singing as they were marching off to war, but it wasn't a really nice little ditty. So she put better words to it. But what prompted her to do that is as she watched them marching away, all she could think about were mothers were sending their sons to kill the sons of other mothers, and how deplorable that was to her. Well, back around 1913 then, a lady named Ann Reeves sort of picked up on that, because her mother was a peace activist, and she became a peace activist. And so she made a movement that there would be a celebration of Mother's Day, yes, to honor her mom, but more to honor what her mom stood for, which was the senseless killing of sons and daughters by other sons and daughters. You see what I'm getting at? Even the origin of Mother's Day, it's not about moms as much as it is about moms protecting their kids. It's a legacy of selflessness. Think of Mary and the selfless act that she had. The angel has just announced to her that she's going to be pregnant and she's going to give birth to the Son of God. How does Mary react to that? Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me? Did she really understand the impact of that? Remember, we're first century AD. She is going to be an unwed mother. Before too long, everyone's going to know she's pregnant. Does she think about, well, I wonder what Joseph was going to, how he's going to react? Does she think about how's the family going to react? How's the town going to react? Is that what she expresses? No. In an act of extreme faith and selflessness, she says, whatever the Lord needs, that's what I'm going to do. That whole idea of putting others before ourselves. St. Paul captured that in his letter to the church at Philippi, and he says this to all of us. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Leaving a legacy means that you consider others more significant than yourselves, more important to you. So it's not about you, but it's about the lives that you're touching. It's a legacy of selflessness. And then finally, it's a legacy of faith. More important than anything else, what all of us needs to pass down to the next generation is a faith in God and in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There's nothing more important to pass down to our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren and our nieces and our nephews and children that aren't even related to us, but to pass down the faith that holds Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Paul gives a powerful testimony of that, writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor under his tutelage, and as he was mentoring him, he wrote him several letters. From the second letter, he said this, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you." Think about the impact of those two women on his life, his grandmother and his mother, passing down to him their faith, a faith that was so powerfully impacted in his life that he would dedicate his life to ministering to others. There's nothing more important for us to do than to leave a legacy of faith. The good news is we don't have to do it alone, for God and his Holy Spirit is active and walking alongside of us. Even Mary, when she sings her song of praise to God, the fact that she's going to give birth to the Savior of the world, she talks about all the things that God has done and all the things that God will do, knowing that she's not going to face this pregnancy alone. She's not going to face raising the Son of God alone, but God by her side. The same is true for you as you leave your legacy. So today on Mother's Day, all of us can think about our mothers, our grandmothers, significant women in our lives that have had influence on us. And we offer up praise and thanksgiving to God for all that they've done. And ladies, moms, grandmothers, aunts, women, don't underestimate your influence. God has given you a special and unique role. Leave a legacy. Amen. Please stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our mothers, our grandmothers, those women in our lives that have touched and have influenced us. We thank you especially for anyone who has contributed in passing down to us a faith in you and a trust in your Son Jesus as our Savior. May we also leave a legacy of that same faith. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. At this time, we respond back to our great God and how much he loves us. We offer back to him in love our offerings.